طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Is this our eighth session?
Ninth.
Okay, hold on. Let me just make sure. It's eight. Yeah, it's eight. Okay, this is our eighth session. Reading from Arabic lessons in fiqh. مستوى ثالث. وعليكم السلام. Level 3. Islamic University of Medina. Arabic Language Institute. Okay, today we're going to be reading the topic under Kitab al-Tahara, subtopic of Al-Wudu, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, yani the subject of the shurut of the sihhatu al-Wudu, shurutu sihhati al-Wudu, yani the preconditions for the validity of ablution. نعم. So we should turn to page 16, please. Page 16. Anybody not on page 16? Anybody having a problem finding our place? Okay, previously, under al-wudu, we talked about what? The definition of wudu. And we also talked about the ruling concerning it being obligatory for a person who wants to perform prayer, for example, and they don't have a state of tahara. And we also talked about the furud of al-wudu. And we said that the furud of wudu are six. The first of them is... The first of them is ghusl al-wajj, yani washing the face. And included in the face is the... فَمْوَ أَنْف يعني the mouth and the nose, and this means that المضمضة والاستنشاق والاستنثار are also يعني obligatory. The second obligatory factor in wudu is washing the two hands, غسل يدين إلى المرفقين, يعني washing the hands up to and including the elbows. And we said that the washing of the elbows is included as a part of washing the hands. And we said that we're going to have some discussion about this, but I don't know if we will today, but at some point we have to do it. Third point is mas al-ra's, yani wiping over the head. And part of the head includes al-udhunan, the two ears, because the Prophet ﷺ said al-udhunan min al-ra's. This hadith reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawud, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hassan. And the fourth of the six furud is غسل الرجلين إلى الكعبين, washing the feet up to and including the ankles. And we said the ankles are included as part of this fourth thing that has to be washed. The fifth matter we said is التَّرْتِيب, يعني meaning the order or arrangement, يعني that the face washed first, then the hands, then the head is wiped, and then the feet, in this order. And the sixth of them we said is Al-Muwalat. Al-Muwala, yani we mean, the meaning of Al-Muwala means what? That you shouldn't wait to wash the next part of the body to the extent that the previous member has already dried up. And then we discussed also the evidences concerning each one of these points. Okay, so that's what we covered last week. Today we're going to look at, on page 16, Shurutu Sihatul Wudu'i. Shurutu Sihatul Wudu'i. Okay, who wants to read the first line? Naam, Musa.
لِيَكُونَ الْوُضُوءُ صَحِيحًا هُنَاكَ شُرُوطُ لَا بُدَّ مِنْهَا وَهِيَ مَبْنِيَّةٌ فِيمَا يَأْتِي.
مَبْنِيَّة or? مُبَيِّنَةٌ. فيما يأتي. Okay. ليكون الوضوء صحيحا هناك شروط لابد منها وهي مبينة فيما يأتي. The meaning, يعني when the first line, page 16, halfway down the page, where it says شروط صحة الوضوء. شروط صحة الوضوء. The first comment is what? In order for the wudu to be صحيح, to be correct, to be valid, then there are preconditions, la budda minha, that are of utmost yani necessity. Wahiya mubayyina, they are made clear, they are clarified, fima ya'ti, in that which follows. What are the shurut that are la budda minha, that are a necessity in order for the wudu to be correct? What is the point here of what we're talking about, these shurut? Why are they important? What if, yani, do we need these for some reason or what?
No.
You need them? Why? Why must you have them?
Because without them, your wudu is
invalid. Because without them, your wudu is invalid. Even if you do everything in the wudu correct. Because these shurut, they are not part of the wudu. They are what? Preconditions that must be fulfilled in order for the wudu, when you do it, to be valid. These are preconditions. So in addition to having to know how to perform wudu, you also got to know any of the preconditions. Because what if you perform wudu perfectly, but you didn't fulfill the preconditions? So the wudu will not be valid. Okay, so this is a very important matter. The first of them, read. Omar.
أولاً الإسلام إذ لم تصح
إذ لا
إذا
إذ لا
إذ لا تصح
تصح
تصح عبادة الكافر
أها
والوضوء عبادة
والوضوء يعني عبادة is what is the إعراب of عبادة خبر خبر is what مرفوع read it again the last line the last part والوضوء عبادة عبادة ها it's clear why to everybody طيب the first precondition for the validity of wudu is الإسلام is since لا تصح عبادة الكافر because what the worship of the disbeliever is not valid it's not correct The worship of the kafir is not valid. They have to be a Muslim. Yani, because the condition for any act of worship to be acceptable is that it has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah and in accordance with the sunnah, accordance with the sharia. So if a person doesn't believe in Allah, they're not doing it for Allah. They don't even believe in Allah. So the first thing a person has to, the person doing the act has to be a Muslim. The ibadah of the kafir, لا تصح. والوضوء Ibadatun. And wudu is an act of worship. Wudu is an act of worship. And the worship of the kafir is not valid. Therefore, this is the first precondition. The person, they want to make salat, they want to make wudu, they got to be a Muslim first. No, I don't want to be a Muslim, I just want to make wudu. No, I don't want to be a Muslim, I just want to fast. For health reasons. Okay, second precondition. Somebody read. Abu Bakr. Naam. فالمجنون ليس مطالبا
بالعبادة ولا تصير عبادة.
Naam. The second precondition is al-aqlu. Al-aqlu means what?
Intellect.
Sanity. The person has to be sane. They have to have intellect. The intellect has to be in their control. They can't be insane. They're not responsible for what they're doing. The second condition is al-aqlu. The person has to have sanity. فَالْمَجْنُونُ لَيْسَ مُطَالِبًا بِالْعِبَادَةِ لَيْسَ مُطَالِبًا بِالْعِبَادَةِ وَلَا تَصِحُّ عِبَادَتُهُ Huh? The second condition is sanity because the majnoon person لَيْسَ مُطَالِبًا بِالْعِبَادَةِ Meaning?
Is not
sabbath. Sought. It's not sought. It's not required. It's not requested. They are not requested. Yani they are not required. فالمجنون يعني ليس مطالبا بالعبادة. The person who's insane is not requested, is not required, is not demanded to worship, and they're insane. They're not required. ولا تصح عبادته. Nor is, if they did it, nor is their worship valid. If they did it, it's not even valid. So they have to have sanity. Preconditions. Islam, sanity. Third precondition, somebody? Abdul Haq.
At-tamizu, فإن غير المميز لا يفرق بين العبادة وغيرها.
I'm glad you corrected yourself before he did. No, I'm not saying who he is, I'm just saying he. Okay, let's just leave it like that. Mubham. Number three, At-tamyizu. Huh? Okay, we're going to come to it. At-tamyizu, yani, is the third precondition. What do we mean by tamyiz?
Maturity.
Not just maturity, but... Okay, discernment. Yani, that the person has the ability to discern between one thing and another. Conscious, but not just conscious. A person might be conscious, but they don't know the difference between this and that.
To distinguish.
They're not able to distinguish.
Yeah.
So the ability to distinguish, discernment. Yani, they're able to discern between one thing and another. At-tamyiz. Yani, because of their age, their maturity, they're able to know the difference between right and wrong. Maybe a child, 1 year old, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. Maybe they come to you and smack you. And then you get upset, but they're not at the age of tamyiz. They don't know that they're not supposed to do that. They might come to find out, right? Because maybe you might say, child or not, you're getting a spanking. And eventually they'll get to know they're not supposed to do that. But right now they don't know, right? So the discernment, the tamyiz, the person has to have the ability to discern, to know the difference between things, ability to distinguish between one thing and another. فَإِنَّ غَيْرَ الْمُمَيِّزِ يعني the one who doesn't have discernment, لَا يُفَرِّكُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَغَيْرِهَا لَا يُفَرِّكُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَغَيْرِهَا They cannot distinguish between worship and other than worship. They don't know the difference between worship and not worship. That's why a child comes into the masjid and we're praying and they're running around. They don't know that. This is worship. They don't know the difference. They haven't reached the age of tamyiz, discernment. They don't know the difference. So a person has to have a tamyiz. Number four, wujudu. I'm sorry, somebody read. Huh? Ghayriha. Yani, baina al-ibadati wa baina. The meaning is wa baina ghayriha. Naam. Ibrahim.
Radian wujud al-ma al-tahur.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the vowel on al-ma, what should it be? الماء
الطهور
الماء
أو
الماء الماء What is the إعراب of الماء
مجرور
مضاف إليه مجرور ولا متجره كسرة وجود الماء huh go ahead I'm surprised that Abdul Haq didn't correct you Oh, okay. He tried to help you without making it known. Sayyid.
Wujud al-ma'i al-tahur.
Uh-huh.
Al-tahur.
Go ahead.
Wujud al-ma'i al-tahur. Fala yasifhu al-wudu bima'in ghayri tahur. Kama taqaddam.
Yani, some people, they leave off the vowels on the end of the word intentionally.
Yeah.
That way they don't fall into error. If you leave the vowel out, you can't make a mistake, right? So here you have to read the last vowel. We want to hear it clearly. No, we want to hear the last vowel because we want to know that you know what the vowel is, okay? Wujudu al-ma'i al-tahuri fala yasihhu الوضوء بماء غير طهور كما تقدم. Okay, the fourth one is the fourth precondition for the validity of wudu is the presence, wujud, the presence of pure water, الماء الطهور. What do we mean by ماء الطهور? What does طهور mean? الطاهر في نفسه المطهر لغيره. At-tahwa with fatta. Tuhur is different. Tahwa with fatta, it means al-ma al-tahir fi nafsi. It's pure within and of itself. And it's also mutahir. It can be used to purify other than itself. So the presence of pure water. فَلَا يَسِحُّ الْوُضُوءُ بِمَاءٍ غَيْرِ تَهُورٍ. So that's because the wudu with water that's not tahur is not valid. لَا يَسِحُّ, it's not correct, it's not valid. As has been mentioned previously when we dealt with the أنواع الماء, the different types of water. So there has to be pure water. What if there's no pure water? Then there's no wudu, right? Then there's no wudu. That's right. There's tayammum. There's tayammum. Number five. Who didn't read yet? Who didn't read yet? Okay, if everybody read, we can go around second round. Now, we're going to start with the oldest person, Abu Bakr. He's not the oldest person in the class, but he's the oldest person who got his hand up. Now, vowel on the end. We're going to get the grammar police are here. We're going to have a problem right now. Pay attention, please. Pay attention. Okay, stop right there. You read, Ibrahim. No, that's okay. You read. Listen up, please. Pay attention. It's very important.
An-niyyatu wa fi sharti li-sihhati kulli ibadatin.
Stop there. Abdul Haq, you read.
It doesn't make sense.
That's what I'm trying to get somebody to say, wait a minute, it's not making sense here. It doesn't make any sense. وَفِي شَرْطِ لِسِحَّةِ كُلِّ عِبَادَةٍ. What does that mean?
It should be وَفِي here, right?
It should be النِّيَّةُ is the fifth precondition. وَهِيَ شَرْطٌ لِسِحَّةِ كُلِّ عِبَادَةٍ. Does that make sense now? وَهِيَ يعني النِّيَّةُ هِيَ شَرْطٌ لِسِحَّةِ كُلِّ عِبَادَةٍ. So what is the meaning now? That it makes sense?
There is a condition,
brother. Now, the niyyah, yani intention, it is a condition, a shart, a precondition, لِسِحَّةِ كُلِّ عِبَادَةٍ, for the validity of every act of worship. Okay, finish reading. Who was reading? Abu Bakr.
Sheikh, over here, sharting, I'm sorry, Abu Bakr. Sharting or shart?
Shartun. Hiya shartun. Forget about fi. We just said fi is wrong. That's a mistake.
Okay.
Instead of fi, it should be wa hiya. Yani hiya and niya. And niya shartun. The niya is a shart. Li sihati kulli ibadatin. For the validity of every ibadah. Naam, Abu Bakr. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إنما الأعمال what's the vowel?
إنما الأعمال
بالنيات.
إنما لكل امرئ ما نوى.
لكل امرئ نعم no problem. لكل امرئ ما نوى. طيب finish. I can't hear him. متفقٌ عليه من
حديث
عمر. حديث عمر مضاف إليه. Okay, so the fifth condition is النية. And it is a shart, it is a precondition for the validity of every act of worship. نية is a precondition for every act of worship, not just wudu. Every act of worship, there must be niyyah, otherwise it's not worship. And if there must be niyyah, that you're doing it purely with ikhlas, for the sake of Allah alone. And this is based upon, the proof of this, is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. That verily, the actions إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions will be judged according to the intentions. It verily it will be judged according to intentions and intentions alone. يعني that is the critical matter, that it has to have intention. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And indeed, for every person, they will have whatever they intended. There's no doubt that if there's sincere intention, the action must also be done in accordance with the Sharia.
Now, I have a question. And the question is it possible for a person to do an action without intention?
An action or an act of worship?
Yeah,
a person can do an action without intention, of course. A person can do an action unconsciously, without thinking about it. Somebody might just do something and they didn't even think about it. That's possible. Didn't you ever hear somebody say, oh, I'm on automatic pilot. I'm going home, I'm supposed to be going somewhere else. Because normally I'm going home without thinking, I just started going home and I'm supposed to be going somewhere else. That means he went home without thinking that I'm supposed to be going somewhere else, unconsciously. Sometimes a person does something without thinking. Maybe somebody drank your juice and they said, oh, I didn't even realize it. That could happen. Unconsciously. They didn't intend to do it. They just did it without thinking, without a forethought.
But even if the intent to drink or eat for the hunger or something like that, but the intention we're talking about here is that the intention doing something for Allah and seeking the reward for it.
No, we're talking about not just the intent that I am conscious of what I'm doing and I'm doing it knowingly. We're not talking about consciousness of the act alone. Rather, you say we are talking about the consciousness that I'm doing it for Allah alone, for the sake of Allah. That's the niyyah that we're talking about. Not just the irada. Yani, I want to eat. That's, yani, I'm conscious that I want to eat something because I'm hungry. But now, I want to have a niyyah that I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. Yani, I'm eating so that I can be strong, so that I can worship. Can you change your niyyah? It's possible. Naam. If a person realizes that they're doing something for the wrong reason, they can change their niyyah. Naam. Yeah, it depends on what kind of... This is a long discussion, okay? We're not going to go into the whole discussion. Depends on what kind of act it is. If it's continuous, one thing, or it is in parts. Like there's a difference between performing salat and performing hajj, right? Because salat is a continuous act. And hajj is, yani you're making ihram, you're making tawaf, you're making sa'i, you're going to Mina, you're going to Arafat, and it's a lot of different things, right? It's parts, all of it make up the Hajj. So there's a difference between a continuous act that is one unit and an act that is in parts. So that there's a difference. So we're not going to talk about that now. Okay, a person is sleeping, he's not held responsible. A person is in their sleep doing something. Even they get up and walk and go someplace and do something, they're not doing it consciously, they're not doing it with any intention.
Also, the difference between why Allah is the
Sahaba, they were different than the other people in that. Yeah, I mean, no doubt. They were the best of the Ummah. They were the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they were. And Allah said He's pleased with them because they did what they did for His sake, and they did it, yani they tried to follow what He has legislated. Okay, but let's go on. Yani the niyyah is a topic in itself, and perhaps we can read one book that has been written just about niyyah, about 500 pages, and we can be reading until next year, right? But we want to go on to get a couple more points in here before we, yani, don't finish the topic. Okay, so the niyyah, yani, the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that actions are judged according to intentions, and that every person will have that which he or she has intended. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, meaning agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Wait a minute, they agreed upon what? Upon its authenticity. Agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim upon its authenticity. And the hadith is narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu alone. May Allah be pleased with him. Naam. And by the way, muttafaqun alayh min hadithi Umara. Why Umara? ممنوع من الصرف نعم ابن الخطاب رضي الله عنه مضاف إليه مجروح علامة جره حتى لأنه ممنوع من الصرف. Okay, number six, the sixth precondition for al-wudu. You have to be a Muslim, you have to have sanity, you have to have the ability to distinguish and discern, there has to be the presence of pure water, and you have to have an-niyya, yani that there has to be a niyyah that you're intending to do this as an act of worship for Allah alone. Number six, Abdul Haq. Naam. Yani ash-shartu as-sadisu. And if we're saying shart, if we're saying shurut, then it can be feminine. But we're saying, if we're saying ash-shart, as-sadis. Okay, read it one more time. You have two small grammatical mistakes. He helped you with one of them. Yani from aljaba yujibu. Aljaba to cause, to make something obligatory. Ahsant. Yani because aw is a conjunction, right? So min bawlin aw. غائتن أو نحوي هما يعني هما becomes هما like whom becomes him يعني and who becomes he if it's preceded by يعني كسرة أو يا والسكون. Okay, انقطاع ما يوجب الوضوء يعني meaning here what? انقطاع means what? To be cut off, يعني the discontinuance of that which yujibu al-wudu, which necessitates the wudu. Yani, what is it that forced you, made it necessary to make wudu? That has to be discontinued. You can't start making wudu while you are still in the process of doing something that necessitates wudu. You have to wait until you finish that which necessitated the wudu. Now you can go and make wudu. Okay, so انقطاعه ما يوجب الوضوء, the discontinuance of that which necessitates wudu. من بول, for example, urine, أو غائط, أو defecation, أو نحوهما, or that which is similar to these two things. The discontinuance of that thing which necessitates wudu has to be finished before you start making wudu. Number seven, Ibrahim.
إزالة ما يمنع وصول الماء إلى البشرة كالعجين والشحوم ونحوها.
طيب, one small mistake. Read it again. This time we're going to stop you. Unless you correct yourself, we will not expose it.
طيب. إزالة ما يمنع وصول الماء.
يعني وصول is the فاعل or the مفعول به.
وصول الماء. نعم مفعول به.
Go ahead. طيب.
إزالة ما يمنع وصول الماء إلى البشرة. العجين والشحوم ونحوها.
جيد. Number seven. إزالة. يعني إزالة means what? The removal. Izalatu ma yamna'u, removal of that which prevents wusula al-ma'i, the reaching of the water ila al-basharati, to the skin. That which prevents water from reaching the skin, that has to be removed. If there's something preventing water from reaching the skin, how you make wudu if the water doesn't touch you? Huh? So you have to remove that which prevents the water from reaching the skin, like kalajini wa shuhumi wa nahwiha. Yani al ajin means what? Ajin is something they use for cooking, like dough. It's actually a dough or a batter or a paste or something. Grease is closer to shuhum. Yani shuhum is the fat or lard or grease or something like this. Ajin is dough.
A dough
that you use for cooking, like you make the dough for making biscuits or cookies or something. The bread, dough. Or a batter. Yani like a batter, ajin. Like the flour mixed with something else to make it start, yani it won't be dry anymore. That's the dough, that's ajin. Yeah, they use that and then they bake it, right? To make bread or whatever they're going to make, right? Ajin or batter that they use also. You could use it, that can also. Yeah, batter is a little more liquefied. But it's also, ajin is mainly used for the dough, but it can be used for batter. It has this meaning also. Well, shuhum means the fat that, shuhum, yeah, it's used for different things. They might use it for cooking, like lard or grease or something. The fat that, yeah, it melts
like
down.
Butter.
Yeah, something like that. And they also use it like a grease, to grease things. In those times, they used to grease the ships, the boats that they made, to protect it from the water, because the water won't go through it. That's why if it's on your body, it has to be removed before you make wudu, because it will prevent the water from reaching your skin. Naam. Or whatever is similar to them. Nail polish. Nail polish, naam. Will it prevent the water from reaching your scalp? It depends on how much you use. If you use enough to prevent the water, you have to remove it. Water has to reach the scalp. Water has to reach the skin. It has to reach the parts of the body directly that you're making wudu. Okay? So the removal of that which prevents the water from reaching the skin, like the dough or the lard or fat or grease and whatever is similar to them that may be on the body that prevents the water from reaching the body directly. Now, that's a different question. In any case, Allahu alam. Allahu alam. This is a disputed issue, but in my understanding, there's no doubt the Prophet ﷺ sometimes had his hair braided. Yani, in a few braids. Now, the Prophet ﷺ. Let's report it authentically. Not all the time, but when he came to Mecca in the concourse of Mecca, his hair was in braids. Naam. Yes. Nah, that's what I'm saying. That's one thing. Braid, like a ponytail, braids. The hair braided together.
Cornrow.
No, that's different. Cornrow is different. That's different. A cornrow is different from a ponytail, right? The braid, the Prophet sometimes braided his head. That's permissible. As far as what you are asking about, that's a different matter altogether. Because that thing is not like something that you braid and then you take it out. Right. And you can undo it and wash your hair and wash your head. That's khalas, permanent. And also, not only that, you can't wash your hair and your head with that dreads. Not only that, but there's no doubt that this is one of the religious symbols of a group of people known as Rastafarians. That's their religion. It's in the Bible, they said. That's their religion. And whoever does this, everybody will immediately think, there must be Rastafarian. Yes, today a lot of other people are wearing it. But we know that that's the symbol. That's like if everybody starts wearing the collar of the Christian priest, the Catholic priest. If everybody starts wearing that, that means it's no longer a symbol of their priesthood. It still remains that symbol. So this is imitation of the kuffar, and the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us from imitating the kuffar in general, and especially, more particularly, in their religious acts or symbols or signs or clothing or things that they do that's part of their religion. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Sahih, مَنْ شَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people, then he's from them. If it is in their religion, it's worse. It's worse. That's why some of the scholars said imitation of the kuffar in religious matters is kufr. Person goes out of Islam.
Well, I saw it's different, but I saw in Facebook,
A ponytail? In any case, let's keep going. Let's go on. Let's go on because we didn't finish yet. Okay. Nail polish has to be removed. Nail polish, it doesn't allow the water to reach the body. Yani lipstick, whatever, that doesn't makeup, that doesn't allow, yani you can't, how you will make wudu? Because if you make wudu with makeup, right? Not you. We have sisters here. Right? And you have wives and daughters and sisters. If you make wudu, you can't make wudu with makeup on. Because if you make wudu, khalas, it's gone. It's destroyed. I want to add to this something, but I'm going to leave it now because of time. Okay, if we have time, we can come back to it. Number eight. We're not finished. Who didn't read yet? Or who wants to read? No. Omar, go ahead.
Al-istinja'u aw istijmaru
aw okay, no problem. Go ahead. He wants you to join it. Go ahead.
No, before he didn't read it.
Oh, he didn't read Al at all? Okay. Okay.
Awil istijmar. Fala yasihhu al-wudu'a. Mimman bihi najasatu fi mahallil bawl awil fa'id.
نعم في محل البول نعم الاستجماء what is الاستجماء استنجاء mean it's cleaning the private areas using water الاستنجاء الاستجمار using a dry substance cleaning the private parts using some dry substance like little pebbles or something like this yeah it's possible, yani. But in any case, the best is with water. Now, al istinja'u, awal istijmaru, yani that this is the eighth precondition for wudu, that a person, if they have urinated or defecated, they have to had cleaned the area of any impurities. If they didn't, before they make wudu, they have to go back and do that. If they already did it, alhamdulillah, it's done. But if they didn't, if anything remains, it has to be removed by istinja or istijma before making wudu. And it's precondition for wudu that the private areas, front and back, have to be free of impurities. Okay? So al-istinja, al-istijma, فَلَا يَسَحُ الْوُضُوء because the wudu is not valid. مِمَّنْ بِهِ نَجَاسَةٌ from the person who has upon him any najasa, impurity. فِي مَحَلِّ الْبَوْلِ in the place where urine comes from. أَوْ الْغَائِتِ or the place that feces comes from. Okay, the wudu is not valid from that person if there's any impurity remaining in those two places where the yani urine or the feces comes from. So that means that the person has to make istinja or istijma yani before making wudu, either at the time when they relieve themselves or before making wudu.
Now, when you use a dry substance, do you have to use istinja?
No, istinja, if maybe you don't have any water, that's why you make istijma if you don't have any water.
When you do use it, like, you know, sometimes you go to the bathroom, there's no water.
So you can use a dry substance. But of course, yani to clean yourself well is difficult without water. It's difficult without water. You don't have to. If you clean, it's possible to clean yourself. But it's better, it's easier and more complete to use water. That's what's best. You can use istinja or you can use istijma. Both of them are permissible. But one is better, it's stronger, it's more complete and perfect. Okay, we're not finished yet. Okay, make a note, point number nine. Yes, point number nine, from the preconditions for the validity of al-wudu, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz Rahimahullah, he says in his book, الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة, he says, الدرس الثاني عشرة, the 12th lesson, شروط الوضوء, وهي عشرة. The conditions for ablution, and they are 10. So we mentioned 8, he mentioned 2 more. One of them, Bismillah wa salatu salam rasulillah. We're just going to take a couple of minutes to mention these two points, which are a benefit, no doubt. The reason why these two points are not mentioned in our book is perhaps because any one of them is specific to certain people, it's not general, and one of them is included in one of the, perhaps could be understood. Sheikh is making clarification of one of the other conditions that are already mentioned, okay? So it's not like he brought something new, but rather, it's for clarification. The first of them is what's included under an-niyya, and he mentions it after an-niyya. After an-niyya, he says, wa also, mean it's connected to niyyah, but he's adding it as another condition. Istishab with sad, and ha istishab hukmuha, hukmu and niyyah, that you keep in your conscious mind with you while you're performing ablution. Istishab hukmuha, hukmu and niyyah, the hukm of the niyyah is that it's a necessity, it's a condition for the validity of the wudu. So a person has to keep conscious of this necessity of the niyyah. He explains it as meaning what? بأن لا ينوي قطع, لا ينوي قطعها حتى تتم طهارته. That the person لا ينوي قطعها, that he doesn't intend to discontinue the intention that's required for ablution. He doesn't intend to discontinue it hatta tutim, until he completes the tahara, the performance of the ablution. Meaning that a person has to hold on to the intention throughout the course of the performance of the wudu. Meaning that you start with the intention, but you have to hold it until you finish. And this is also understood, for example, a person is praying, that their intention must be maintained throughout the act. Not just, I intend in the beginning and then in the middle you go somewhere else. Rather, it has to be retained to the end. So the point here is, he's saying that from the conditions, preconditions for wudu, is that the person have intention, and then he's adding to that, that you hold on to that intention, that you maintain the consciousness of the ruling of intention, that it's a necessity, that you maintain that, and you do not intend to cut it off until you, your intention in the beginning is that you intend to hold on to this niyyah until the end of the performance of ablution. Naim.
I finally remember that the Sheikh, you once said that in a old copy of Sahih Muslim,
the washing of the arms comes before the rising of the face. I remember mentioning that in some of the copies of the explanation of Sahih Muslim, Imam Nawawi mentions the washing of the face with the hand, although most of the narrations mention both hands. And Imam Nawawi says that it's permissible to wash the face with one hand or with two, though washing with two is better than one. That's what I remember from Sahih Muslim. But maybe we can go back and review it. You're probably mentioning something that was said a long time ago, and it might not be still in my memory. But I can check it for you, inshallah. No, we're out of time. We have to stop. Go ahead. It's connected to niyyah. It's connected to niyyah in that the need, the necessity of having niyyah for the validity of wudu, a person must not intend in the beginning, they must not intend to discontinue that niyyah until they finish performing ablution. They must have intent, and they must have intent also that that this is the intent until the end. In any case, this is not, yani, it's not one of the essential preconditions that are mentioned under the preconditions of wudu. The Shaykh has mentioned here, sort of as a clarification of the need to maintain the intention. Yani, in the beginning, my intent is to do this for the sake of Allah, and I intend to, yani, have this pure intention for the sake of Allah until the end of the performance of the act. Now, There's one more point that he mentioned.
Actually, I was wondering how that is practically possible, as long as the person is doing his Quran until the end. But I thought about maybe, if somebody...
It's intent. He's talking about here about intent. There's intent to do it for the sake of Allah, and then there's intent to maintain that intention until the end. Istishab means to hold on to it, to keep it with you. Yani, like to keep it as your companion, like from, yani... Sahib. Yani to the it's also an intent. Yani that I intend to keep this intention until the end, not to cut it off. In any case, there's one more point. Let's just finish this point, and then if we have time, we can come back, because actually we have to stop. They're gonna call the Iqam in a minute, and I don't want to be here last week like we were last time. Yeah. Overtime, and then he told me after, you know, the Iqam should have been called 10 minutes ago. Okay, in defense of the sisters, they have nail polish now that the water can go through. Jazakallah khair. There's one more point, and we have 1 minute, okay? The Sheikh also mentioned, from the preconditions of wudu, he said, دُخُولُ وَقْتِ الصَّلَاةِ فِي حَقِّ مَنْ حَدَثُهُ دَائِمٌ دُخُولُ وَقْتِ الصَّلَاةِ وَقْتِ الصَّلَاةِ في حق من حدثه دائما. يعني the entry of the time of the salat. يعني the time of the salat has to be in reference to the person who's حدثه دائما. يعني he's constantly in a state of حدث. Meaning a person, for example, who has a weak bladder. Okay, incontinence. Person who has incontinence. They always have some urine leaking. That person cannot, yani, a condition for that person is that it has to be time for the salat before they can make wudu. Once the time for the salat came and they can make wudu, and their wudu is good, even if something drips, doesn't matter. The wudu is good for that salat. But they can't make the wudu until the time for the salat enters. That's the person who what? Has constant, ongoing, continuous state of hadath. Hadathuhu da'im. Da'imun. Okay, this is what the Shaykh added to what we mentioned in the book. And yani, these conditions are not, yani, a part of the curriculum, but yani, they are benefit, inshallah. Yeah, the entry of the time of the salat in reference to the person who there, yani, state of impurity is constant, da'im. Their state of impurity, their hadath, hadathuhu da'im. Their state of impurity is constant, ongoing, and it doesn't stop. It's continuous. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. There was one more benefit, but we'll save it for next week because time is out on us. We don't want to be in that position again this time. No. He said.